reading from the book of the prophet Malachi. Lo, the day is coming, blazing like an oven, when all the proud and all evildoers will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, leaving them neither root nor branch, says the Lord of hosts. But for you who fear my name, there will arise the Son of Justice with its healing rays. Verbum Domini.
And the sound of the horn, raise a shout before the King, the Lord.
Reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brothers and sisters, you know how one must imitate us, for we did not act in a disorderly way among you, nor did we eat food received from anyone. On the contrary, in toil and drudgery, night and day, we worked, so as not to burden any of you. Not that we have the right. Rather, we wanted to present ourselves as a model for you, so that you might imitate us. In fact, when we were with you, we instructed you that if anyone was unwilling to work, neither should that one eat. We hear that some are conducting themselves among you in a disorderly way, by not keeping busy, but minding the business of others. Such people we instruct and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to work quietly and to eat their own food. Verbum Domini.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam. While some people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus said, "All that you see here, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another stone that will not be thrown down." Then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what sign will there be when all these things are about to happen?" He answered, "See that you not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time has come.' Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. For such things must happen first. But it will not immediately be the end." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty signs will come from the sky. Before all this happens, however, they will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons, and they will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead to your giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will even be handed over by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You'll be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed. By your perseverance, you will secure your lives." Verbum Domini. As we approach the end of the liturgical year and enter into Advent, the tone of the readings moves towards the final coming of Christ. At the end of time, when all is once more finished, Christ will come again. And he is very clear about this, and the scriptures are very clear about this, yet we do not know the time and the hour. While at times Jesus did not provide signs, usually because the people who asked were his accusers and were not truly interested in what he said or who he was, at this moment our Lord speaks of signs. But the context of this moment in Scripture is very important. That our Lord had already solemnly entered Jerusalem, that he is the Son of David, born to rule forever, entering into the new Jerusalem, who by his passion and resurrection would inaugurate a new kingdom of justice and of peace. And he had just proclaimed the woes, that the prediction of the destruction of Jerusalem is sandwiched between Jesus' denunciation of the scribes and Pharisees and his eschatological discourse. that in one sense, the prediction of the destruction comes in response to the rejection of the scribes and Pharisees. But long ago, when the initial son of David, that is Solomon, finished building the temple in 1 Kings 9, the Lord appears to Solomon and warns him, "But if you turn aside from following me, you or your children, and do not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and the house which I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight. And Israel will become a proverb and a byword among the peoples, and this house will become a heap of ruins. Every but one passing by it will be astonished and will hiss. They will say, 'Why has the Lord done thus to the land and to this house?'" And remember, when they went by this prophecy about the passion and the cross, when our Lord, who is the true temple and where true worship happens, and this is the moment of this utter abandonment to worship in the passion of the Christ, they hissed at him and said, "Come down," you know, they taunted him. So if the people do not keep the covenant and the commandments, if we, the people, they will fall into ruin. So when the scribes and Pharisees reject Jesus, they are in effect serving other gods and worshiping them. The God of Israel is incarnate before them, and they serve ego and position and pride and make sacrifices to please their own idols. Remember our Lord with the scribe and the Pharisee, or the Pharisee and the publican, Jesus says he prays to himself. He says that in that parable. That all of us in our fallenness subtly fall into this temptation. We tend to desire a sacrifice for ourselves or to ourselves, and are unmerciful towards others. But in one of the most important moments in the gospel according to Matthew, although each and every word is important, the Pharisees point out that the disciples were plucking grain on the Sabbath. And in response, Jesus points to David in the eating of the bread of the presence and to the priests in the temple who work on the Sabbath and remain guiltless. And his conclusions are shocking. He says, "I tell you something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." As for the current gospel passage, the arguments with the Jewish authorities happened in the temple, but they leave and go towards the Mount of Olives. On their way out, the disciples marvel at the beauty of the temple, and our Lord responds with the crushing, "There will not be left a stone upon another stone." And although today's reading is from Luke, Matthew makes clear that the prophecy was made in private, and Mark specifies an even smaller group: Peter, James, John, and Andrew. This prophecy, then, will only be understood in the light of the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. And in light of the fulfillment found within Jesus' saving acts, his identity as the true Son of David, the anointed Messiah and Son of God, it will make sense. that he is the new and living temple through whom pure and holy worship will be given to the Father. That the Father who seeks those who worship him in spirit and in truth will set up Christ, that in him is both the altar and the new and living water which shall flow from his side. So in the absence of a temple, which will happen after the Roman destruction in 69-70 AD, this will point all the more strongly to the fact that Jesus has inaugurated a new time, a new age. And while the disciples ask specifically about the temple, Jesus' response looks towards the time between his resurrection and his second coming, that is right now, that the signs that they will experience will be present throughout the time of the church. That tribulations and eschatological signs will continue throughout history as the old order continues to wage war against the children of light. As Jesus had to suffer and die in order to bring about the kingdom, so his disciples will suffer persecution. Surprisingly, even in the apparent absence of his physical presence, Jesus will assist those who have been brought before kings and governors in their giving of testimony. He says, "I myself shall give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute." I should think about Aaron and Moses, that Moses spoke into the ear of Aaron, and Aaron was the voice there. And because our Lord had promised, God had promised Moses before going and before Egypt, that this wisdom, this ability to speak, that was impossible to resist or refute. Of course, the Pharaoh, his heart was hardened, etc. But this is beyond that, way beyond that, because this is our Lord Jesus Christ, who is present in our midst and is doing the same. We can, in our holy imagination, that Jesus is speaking into our ear this wisdom. Jesus will do this. He will continue to be with us in order to give us wisdom. That the gospel, according to John, in the final discourse, it'll be clear that this is through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we have this even in the sequence of Pentecost, that he is the gift of wisdom from on high. Somehow, we manage to ignore or avoid these prophecies of our Lord, that we will be persecuted and hated because of his name, and sadly, we also suffer, or we suffer probably more than that because of our sins. So let us not blame everything difficult and hard that happens to us upon Jesus. We often suffer because the kingdom of God and its righteousness have not fully flowered in our hearts and our lives. And for this, we need the gift of our Lord, that our Lord will shortly give both in this time in Scripture and in this time that is the most holy Eucharist. Although we save those passages for another time in the liturgical year, in this age, as we await the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we now have this sacrament of his presence in which we find strength to move forward and to persevere. that he is the sun of justice with his healing rays, and as the Lord of hosts rests, so to speak, in the monstrance, you know, we have the rays of the sun, he sets us on fire with his love. And it is good to be aware of what happens in the world. But he says, do not be terrified. Let us first be aware of what happens in our hearts and address the distress, the fears, the insecurity, and the illness, which all need to be brought to our Lord for healing. And for this, we come to our Lord in the most holy Eucharist. And we pray, come, Lord Jesus.